The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We've established it's Thursday by now, Dom. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Happy stormy Friday Eve, Crudy. Thank you, Rich, working hard on the board. Our fair audience, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. It's a political party up in here.
And we've got guests joining the political party. We've got Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler coming along in about 25 minutes, Dom. Nice. So people are going to want to stick around for him. And also, it was such a hit the other day. More dramatic reading of the Stormy Daniels testimony from court today. Only this time, I'm going to be Stormy.
Say it ain't so. I practiced for Stormy, Crudy, so I don't know if I'm ready for this. You're mixing it up like this.
I think I'll make a more passionate Stormy. 5 o'clock, happier, happy hour. You'll have to stick around to find out for sure-sies. Dom, wanted to lead here. Our friend, Dave Zweifel, over at the Cap Times, had an opinion piece, and he talked about Donald Trump's approach to climate change. He called it burn, baby, burn. But I actually want to start this hour with a conversation, an exclusive at the Washington Post, what Trump promised oil CEOs as he asked them to steer $1 billion to his campaign. I mean, the corruption, it's right out front and center, Dom. Let's describe it for our audience in case they were wondering. As Donald Trump sat with some of the country's top oil executives at his Mar-a-Lago club last month, one executive complained about how they continue to face burdensome environmental regulations despite spending $400 million to lobby the Biden administration in the last year.
$400 million in 1 year?
Just to lobby the Biden administration. It's almost like they weren't for sale, Dom. I read on. Trump's response stunned several of the executives in the room overlooking the ocean. You are all wealthy enough, he said, that you should raise $1 billion to return me to the White House. At the dinner, he vowed to immediately reverse dozens of President Biden's environmental rules and policies and stop new ones from being enacted, according to people with knowledge of the meeting who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe a private conversation. Now, giving $1 billion would be a deal, Trump said, because of the taxation and regulation that they would avoid thanks to him, according to the people. Trump's remarkably blunt and transactional pitch reveals how the former president is targeting the oil industry to finance his re-election bid. At the same time, he's turned to the industry to help shape his environmental agenda for a second term, including the rollbacks of some of Biden's signature achievements on the clean energy and the electric vehicles. You know, they don't like that so much, Dom.
Well, doesn't it now in this context make sense that, you know, over the last several months, Trump has been out there on the campaign trail. Burn, baby, burn. Drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill, right?
I think he had to write the first time.
One day, I'm going to fix the border and drill, baby, drill. He's been prefacing this like he did the insurrection, right? This is the game plan. Well, now it makes perfect sense. I mean, why would a candidate like Donald Trump say we need to, you know, have maximum oil energy production in this country and drill, baby, drill when literally we have had the most oil production in this country's history under the Biden administration? Because he's looking for the campaign money, apparently to the tune of $1 billion.
$1 billion. Well, if he got that much, then he'd be a billionaire, Dom. I'll read on a little bit here. This exclusive at the Washington Post. The contrast between the two candidates, they mean Biden and Trump, on the climate policy could not be more stark. Biden has called global warming an existential threat. And over the last 3 years, his administration has finalized 100 new environmental regulations aimed at cutting air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. Now, I'm going to aside for a second. I don't know why Republicans like pollution. They're okay with the climate change, but they also seemingly are okay with the pollution. I guess it must be the corporate donors that fund their campaigns, Dom.
Well, I mean, anything you have to do to mitigate pollution, well, it inherently, by its very nature, will add to your costs.
And that makes
therefore,
it bad.
Decrease your profit.
Dominic,
any questions?
100 new environmental regulations aimed at cutting air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions, restricting toxic chemicals, and conserving public lands and waters. In comparison, let's contrast, Trump has called climate change a hoax, and his administration weakened or wiped out more than 125 environmental rules and policies over 4 years. And in recent months, the Biden administration has raced to overturn Trump's environmental actions and issue new ones before the November election. So far, Biden officials have overturned 27 Trump actions affecting the fossil fuel industry, you know, the dining guest at the Mar-a-Lago, Dom, and completed 23 new actions affecting the sector, according to the Washington Post. Their analysis, the Interior Department, for instance, recently blocked future oil drilling across 13 million acres of the Alaskan Arctic. How dare they? Burn, baby, burn. Oh, no, I mean drill, baby, drill.
Well, you know, given the climate change, the Arctic won't be the Arctic for long. Maybe they'll open it up to the Alaskan tundra as it slides north. Crudy, I'll continue. Despite the oil industry's complaints about Biden's policies, the United States is now producing more oil than any country ever has.
What?
Let me just say this again. So all you megas out there, when if this is your drill, baby, drill, then you should be voting for Joe Biden, because the United States is now producing more oil than any country ever has, pumping nearly 13 million barrels per day on average last year. ExxonMobil and Chevron, the largest U.S. energy companies, reported their biggest annual profits in a decade last year. Yet oil giants will see an even greater windfall, helped by new offshore drilling, speedier permits, and other relaxed regulations in a second Trump administration. The former president told the executives over dinner of chop steak at Mar-a-Lago. He loves serving that chop steak.
What the hell? Who the hell? I mean, really, these are oil executives. No filet mignon? No ribeyes?
Oh, come on, man. It's not like
chop steak is hamburger, dude. That's like sirloin. I turn up my nose at your chop steak.
The White House and got them fast food. That's how Trump rolls. I mean, it's cheaper than the fancy stuff, Curdy. Roughly two dozen executives invited included Mike Sable, the CEO and founder of Venture Global, and Jack Fusco, the CEO of Chenier Energy, whose proposed project would directly benefit from lifting the pause on new LNG, liquid natural gas exports. Other attendees came from companies including Chevron, Continental Resources, Exxon, and Occidental Petroleum, according to the attendance list obtained by the Post. $1 billion. Trump told the executives he would start auctioning off more leases for oil drain in the Gulf of Mexico, a priority that several of the executives raised. He railed against wind power, as the Post previously reported, and he said he would reverse the restrictions on drilling in the Alaskan Arctic. You've been waiting on a permit for 5 years. You'll get it on day one, Trump told the executives, according to the recollection of the attendee. At the dinner, Trump also promised that he would scrap Biden's mandate on electric vehicles, mischaracterizing ambitious rules that the Environmental Protection Agency recently finalized, according to people who attended. The rules require automakers to reduce emissions from car tailpipes, but they don't mandate a particular technology, such as EVs. Trump called them ridiculous in the meeting with the donors. Fossil fuel industry has aggressively lobbied against EPA's tailpipe rules, which could eat into demand for its petroleum products. The American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers and Industry Trade Group has launched a seven-figure campaign against what it calls de facto gas car ban. The campaign includes ads in battleground states warning that the rule will restrict consumer choice.
I believe I've heard some of those ads here in the great state of Wisconsin. We're something of a battleground state here, Dom.
So we get the gist. Any more on this you want to talk about?
No, just that Trump would basically go out and say the corrupt part aloud.
Okay, is that the crime? I want to be clear.
I'm not saying it's a crime. You know what I mean? I said it's corrupt.
Is that not okay? Corrupt. So he said it out loud versus implying the corruption. I mean,
he stated a dollar figure, Dom.
Lobbying the Biden administration. Why not just come out and just say it? Here's the price. Any questions? You know what I mean? Instead of all the workaround and the implication and the funneling and the whatever. I mean, this is for sale. That's how he rolls. Transactional.
Maybe I'm just off put because I did listen to some of the testimony from the Stormy Daniels case. And yeah. Stormy was not the only witness today. There was also a Trump Organization figure who handled the shipping of the reimbursement for the hush money payments.
Yeah, the FedEx payments for the checks, yep.
Sent him off to the Oval Office for Trump to sign. While he was the president, he was still signing private business endeavors in the Oval Office, my understanding. Very transactional, if you will, including the reimbursement of his fixer, Michael Cohen, for the payoff of a porn star grossed up to reflect the taxes that Michael Cohen could incur. I'm shocked, Don, because, as you know, only suckers pay taxes. Folks, we're at the Devil's Advocates. It will be a stormy day. We'll get there. Probably in the happier happy hour. More dramatic readings. I know the audience loves it, Don. And they also love it when we got good friends coming round. Friend of the Devil's, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler joins us at 4:30. So if you're calling, dial right now. 844-967-2789. But yes, it's almost like these two candidates have differing policies. One would let the earth burn down. And strangely, the other one has the highest number of oil production in America, the world's history, 13 million barrels a day. And that's day, Joe Biden's resume. I thought he was the one that was good on the climate change. Come back with us. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the political party at 844-967-2789. Special guest, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, state of Wisconsin, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
And Dominic on tomorrow's big Devil's Advocates, the Friday edition. Last one before you go European vacationing for a week.
Well, Big Ben Parliament.
We got a big Friday. My congressman, Mark Pocan, going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And then, guy you've never had the opportunity to interact with, I don't believe, Joe Walsh, Republican presidential candidate in the last elective cycle. Now, he was a congressman from the state of Illinois, and more importantly, Dom, he's a radio dog. I like Joe Walsh. Joe joining us in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour tomorrow on the big show. So looking forward to that. We'll get one more good show in the can. Yeah. Greatest radio show ever. You'll have to tune in to find out for sure.
Excellent. Going to be a fun day tomorrow.
Dom, I tuned in to the morning show, the MSNBC. I told you I was consuming different media than you earlier today. You were filling yourself with fiction over at the Foxy News, and I was trying to get it straight. But, you know, there is commentary on the morning Joe, and Joe nearly lost his schnizzle this morning. When he heard about the latest Trump fundraiser at the Mar-a-Lago, and I don't mean the CEOs of oil companies, he had another one. Fundraiser. But also very Trump supportive people.
Shouldn't he be out campaigning? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, he's got his son's graduation day for campaigning, Dom. He's coming to Minnesota next Wednesday, the day he needed so desperately to get out of court. You know, his son. His son's graduating on the 17th, Dom.
And so he's going to the graduation party then.
No, he's going to a fundraiser and a political event in Minnesota.
Now, does that mean he's going to skip Young Barron's graduation?
I'm less clear if he's doing a doubleheader, you know, just shorten his youngest son.
All right.
That we'll know about publicly.
Well, and the day will come. It will pass. We will know what Trump did. Now, we recall how upset he was that he might miss his son's graduation, and all the righties out there were just so concerned about whether or not Trump will miss his son's graduation because, of course, Judge Merchan did not rule on it immediately. So everybody was all hurt about it. So let's see how it actually plays out.
Well, I've already got the notice. He's going to be at a fundraiser in Minnesota. The graduation, that's a coin flip at this point. You know, normally we laid off Barron Trump. We didn't really say much about him. You know, he wasn't really involved in politics. But, you know, now he is.
Now he is.
Barron Trump is going to be a delegate from Florida. He's coming to Milwaukee, Dom. He's coming to the RNC.
Oh.
Don't let him drive. My understanding is he's had some recent driving issues at the Mar-a-Lago.
Kids in cars these days.
Well, it just tells you he is a Trump son. He's a ne'er-do-well. Let's talk about the Trump loyal, the faithful that came down to Mar-a-Lago to eat some chop steak. As reported on the MSNBC, The Morning Joe, the former president hosted a dinner for supporters who purchased NFT trading cards, Dom, the non-fungible token trading cards, including a series of non-fungible tokens that came with a small swatch of a suit Trump was wearing during his mugshot at the Atlanta jail.
Ooh, fancy.
And like
owning part of Elvis.
The Morning Joe host laughed out loud. Oh my God. Oh my God. Scarborough said, what the holy F is going on here? Who are these people? That was Scarborough's Trump. Scarborough's quote, Trump has entered into agreements with Florida based LLCs to personally profit off his name and likeness, which has earned him at least six figures from the previous superhero set of digital trading cards. Oh, he's a Superman, Dom.
You know, really, if it's working, if you're putting money in your pocket, why would you ever stop? I mean, the guy can't help himself. And he's got a willing customer base, i.e., you know, cult followers. Why wouldn't you?
DevilRadioSwag.com, just saying. So, anyways, he had the NFT, the superhero set of digital trading cards, but he's also used similar arrangements to promote gold sneakers, perfume, well, that was Melania, and of course, the Bibles. Very patriotic Bibles, Dom. Co-host Willie Geist on the Morning Joe said, I mean, what do you do? Frame the piece of suit? Sniff it? Keep it at your bedside? One of the images showed an improperly fit Trump wearing a bomber jacket, which sent panelist Elise Jordan into hysterics. The bomber jacket, that's quite a... Did they take Tom Cruise and put Trump's head on it? That is actual just complete propaganda.
Of course, man. They've taken Donald Trump's face and stuck it on Rocky Balboa. Rocky, man. They put him on Rocky. He's a big fighter. They've also stuck it on Rambo. I don't know what it is with the Trumpsters and this obsession with Sylvester Stallone, but they do it all the time.
They're showing you what his prison body's going to look like, Dom. Now, Geis pointed out that the fundraiser took place on Trump's scheduled day off from his hush money trial in New York, and he cast doubt on the authenticity of the mugshot edition of his latest scheme. He had them at Mar-a-Lago, a day off there from his criminal hush money trial, Geis said. What do you do? Bring in the people who spend 10 grand on your NFTs and pieces of your suit from your mugshot, which undoubtedly are not from that suit. But that's for another day.
Hey, you don't know that. It could be. There is a finite number of suit patches you can get out of that huge suit that he has to wear. I mean, you know, man, you get a good suit crew, it covers up a lot. Maybe that's why they're so valuable, because there's only going to be so many made.
Trump, you let it out. Taylor, you conceal it. It's sort of like a muumuu, isn't it? A lot of fabric. But I still doubt that Trump took one of his, what, three blue suits? Because I think the man owns like three blue suits. He's not exactly a fashion bug, not like the wife. But is he going to really burn one of his three blue suits? No, I suspect
for a 10 grand swatch of one by ones? Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to, of course.
Just buddy, he went down to JCPenney's and bought the whole rack of blue suits. Had the Cabana boys at Mar-a-Lago chopping him up all night. You know, back where they keep the classified documents. It's like a sweatshop down there. Come back. More Devil's Advocates with Ben Winkler, Democratic Party Wisconsin Chair, our friend.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, we welcome back a fine guest, a friend of ours. He is Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Winkler. Ben, thanks for making time for us today.
Hey, Ben.
Hey.
Ben, we
good to be with you guys.
Ben, I've taken note of the fact that the Biden-Harris campaign is not ignoring Wisconsin. We had the president yesterday. We got the vice president coming back to Milwaukee next Thursday. I think that's like four times for each of them, maybe more, in the state of Wisconsin this year. That's a lot, Ben. We appreciate it.
We love it. And I have to say, I got a call from a reporter who said, Ben, do you worry that Wisconsin's getting too much attention from the presidential campaign on the Democratic side? And I never thought I'd see the day when anyone would even think to ask that question. It shows that they understand how you get to 270 electoral college votes, and it goes through America's Dairyland. That's just the plain simple math. And it means that Wisconsinites are not just going to learn about what Harris and President Biden especially is doing just from TikTok algorithms or whatever clip Fox News puts up. They're going to learn directly from the president of the United States. And when he shows up and says, we're putting in a $3.3 billion investment from Microsoft to, create thousands of new jobs, including permanent jobs and union jobs, that actually can cut through and move the needle. It's very exciting.
And Ben, Joe Biden specifically came to Studevant, Wisconsin. That's the area of the Foxconn boondangle of Donald Trump and Scott Walker. And he was certainly willing and front and center with his contrast, because that was a failure, a huge failure. And I believe he said, Trump made promises, but the Biden administration is keeping promises. Joe, it was a very, it was an excellent contrast, let's just say. Ben.
So what? He had this line, Donald Trump showed up with his golden shovel and dug a hole and fell into it. That's basically what happened. Trump was, it was all golden shovels and no actually building anything. And with Biden, he actually walks the walk. And I was there, but there were a whole bunch of unions represented, the people who are actually going to build this thing. They were there. They were so fired up, because if you ask anyone in the building trades, there is a ton of building that's actually happening right now. It turns out that Joe Biden's the builder and Donald Trump's the all talk politician. It's maybe the opposite of what Trump was promising in 2016, but that's the reality. That's where we are now.
Well, the other reality, the alternative reality, is what's appearing on Fox News. And Donald Trump came to the state of Wisconsin. And, if you were trying to politifact this guy in real time, you'd have been very, very busy. He was taking a break from his felonious criminal trial in New York State to come to Waukesha, Wisconsin, and tell some whoppers. Ben, I was there. I got to tell you, the Trump faithful, they drank the Kool-Aid, buddy. They are all in. It's a little troubling to see just how committed they are, and they got their blinders on. They're not going to be dissuaded. So it's not about their base who is it about convincing when Joe Biden comes to town?
Yeah. Well, the people who go to Trump's rallies are people who are, you know, they're like deadheads. They're people who are people following Phish today, which no shade on them. They're fans. Oh. You know, they groove out. They get to hear the hits, whatever the newest variation is. And that's, it's a lifestyle. I totally honor that. That is not the majority of Wisconsin voters. And frankly, the people who will decide this election, it's a lot of people who are skeptical of both candidates and who want to see who is for real, who's actually on their side, who can actually deliver, who will defend freedom and deliver for the middle class. And so, you know, Biden didn't have a mega rally. There weren't thousands of people there. The goal was to actually convey a message that's going to be on people's TV screens and on their phone screens and the newspapers, and then actually show up in their lives as the construction gets underway and as these jobs arrive. And that is exactly what he did. So the audience is people for whom if talk is not enough, what they want to see is proof. And the proof is going to be unfolding in the months to come as this, as the starts moving on this thing, which is very different from how Trump operates. Trump likes to have a huge show about what he says and hopes that no one will actually check whether he does any of it, because he doesn't.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. Ben, always a pleasure. I am encouraged by this Microsoft action. Love to see the president in town. But I'm also a little skeptical, man. You know, we saw a president and a governor on that very land not so long ago, Trump and Walker, saying that they were going to bring jobs to this country. I'm a little PTSD'd about it, bringing jobs to the state. It's a political year. Seems very similar. Any concerns of history repeating itself, Ben?
Well, you can, you know, check out anything that Microsoft is saying anywhere. Building AI data centers is like job one. This is a company that is all in on this kind of AI strategy. They have this huge partnership with OpenAI. They just acquired Inflection AI. They have a whole AI team that's building out these new models that they're releasing all the time. This is the center of their strategy. And I think I heard someone say yesterday that this will be the biggest Microsoft facility in the world. I mean, this is a centerpiece of what they're doing. It's not a kind of afterthought. It's also a place where they know that they're, you know, Wisconsin is going to be connected through thick fiber optic cables to the rest of the country and the rest of the world. It makes sense to do this here in the middle of the country. You know, just the speed of light is going to reach the other population centers in the United States rapidly from a place like Wisconsin. This is the real deal. And you could kind of see that in what everyone was saying. I think there's a real difference between Trump's approach of kind of jawboning with people and getting people to, you know, make big announcements of things that didn't actually make a lot of economic sense versus a company that has a clear strategy that is at the center of their massive stock price now that this is a part of implementing. We'll also say Biden passed the CHIPS and Science Act. He passed the infrastructure bill. We have paved the roads leading up to this place. Like, you know, if you drive from Madison or Racine to Sturtevant, you're driving on roads supported with American Rescue Plan and infrastructure bill dollars. And that creates the conditions where building this kind of plant actually makes sense. With Trump, all they did was bulldoze people's houses, but they never actually invested in the infrastructure to make something like this work. So this is, looks to me like what we're going to have is thousands of new jobs. We've already seen that under Trump, we lost 1,000 manufacturing jobs in Racine. And under Biden, we have those jobs back and more. So the results are already in so far, and this is just going to accelerate that process.
Great to hear your opinion on that, Ben. Thank you. Let's talk about the horse race. Hovde versus Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Quinnipiac polling came out yesterday, shows Senator Baldwin up by 12. We've been talking about Hovde and the mustache and the ads from his bank out in Arizona. There's a nice piece at Urban Milwaukee about that today. How do you see this race lining up right now, Ben?
You know, I love seeing poll results that say everything is great, but I want to be real. We live in Wisconsin. And in the past, whenever we see a poll that has double-digit margins, unless it's a state Supreme Court race, it's probably not something you want to put too much stock in. Hovde is spending millions of dollars, hand over fist, just pouring money into the airwaves in our state. And in other polls, we've seen the margin shrink down to like 3-4 points. I think it's much more likely to be a close race than it is to be a landslide. Not because Hovde is any great shakes. He's a terrible candidate. I think he'd be a terrible senator. But because he's willing to spend so much on the air to portray himself as Mr., you know, fix-it business guy who understands how things work, And for voters that aren't paying close attention to his actual record and how he's, you know, runs a billion-dollar bank in California, that stuff might be convincing. So any Democrat listening to this program, get to work spreading the word about Tammy Baldwin, what a champion she is, and Eric Hovde, and how we should go back to California. We're going to need every vote.
Well, you talked about blanketing the airwaves. Apparently, he's blanketing the airwaves of Arizona with cowboy Eric Hovde ads. And he's very much this, very much wants to be sort of the centerpiece of his bank's ads, to the point where it's probably a negative in his campaign. Pretty hard to convince Wisconsinites you live here when your bank's in California and Arizona, and you don't exactly live here. You apparently want to be some sort of Arizona cowboy. But here's my question. Dominic had an analogy, and Ben, I want to see if you like this one or love this one. Eric Hovde, it's like David Gruber. He can't step away from being the face of his Arizona or California bank. What do you think? David Gruber, good analogy or pretty damn good?
Well, David Gruber is not running for U.S. Senate. He's, you know, Mr. One Call, that's all. He's running to be your lawyer if you get into a car accident. And Eric Hovde should stick to banking. He seems to thrive in the banking arena. He loves running a big bank, taking over nursing homes and getting sued for, you know, elder abuse and wrongful death. That's what he does, is run a bank. He should not be running for Senate in Wisconsin, especially. You know, there's a lot of states to choose from where he actually is sitting down while he fills out his ballot, as opposed to the state of Wisconsin, where he sends the ballot while he claims to still live here when he's voting absentee from his Laguna Beach, California mansion.
Sometimes.
It's really all about Eric Hovde for Eric Hovde. It's just for the rest of us. We want to live in our world, not in his. So I hope folks vote accordingly.
David Gruber probably has a higher profile. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We got a fine guest. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. Ben, how's the party handling the Trump Stormy Daniels voter deception trial? What's the party's take on this?
You know, we're a country that's supposed to be governed by the rule of law. And as much as Trump has tried to rig in his favor, ultimately, the rule of law ensures that there's some accountability in this country. Our job in the Democratic Party is to do the work and talk to the voters in the place where the election's going to be tilted one way or the other. And if we do our job across Wisconsin, people will know that the Trumpian chaos and extremism, all this mess that just makes everyone stressed out, does not have to be our future. We can actually get together and solve real problems, as we've been doing with the Biden administration, build stuff, create jobs, protect our freedoms. We don't have to live in the Trumpian soap opera melodrama that he would inflict on the country for another 4 years if we put him back in the White House.
And Ben, obviously, I'd much rather talk about the J6, the real criming, the coup attempt, and the fake electors plot. And it seemingly originated here in the state of Wisconsin, Ben, as a political issue. How do the Democrats frame small d democracy as an issue here, and the rule of law, and holding Trump and those that would be co-conspirators, holding them accountable, Ben? Politically, how do you lay that out during a campaign season?
Well, we've now defeated two fake electors in their runs for office, in Kelly Rue and DePure, and the former La Crosse UOP chairman running for county board in La Crosse. And the biggest fake elector of them all is really Donald Trump. The central thing we can do is make sure that voters see, that politicians see, that trying to overturn an election means your political career is over. And the number one thing we can do on that front is making sure voters know what Trump and his allies have done and what they plan to do. He's saying on the campaign trail he'd be a dictator on day one if he came into office. He's already making clear he won't accept the results this November, which means we have to make sure that the results are absolutely clear and cannot be overturned. What we have to do is shut off this channel, this route to power. And if we do that, Republicans who want to be in power will realize they actually have to play by the rules of a democracy if they ever want to have a shot of getting into office.
Last question, Ben, probably due to time constraints, but obviously there's been some pro-Palestinian protest and encampments here on the UW campus. And it's an issue that Joe Biden came out very strongly yesterday and said, you know, effectively, we're going to pause the weapons, the offensive weapons to Israel. But as a political issue, Ben, and just a minute left, How do the Dems handle this issue that seemingly is engaging the young?
The number one thing that the vast majority of protesters, the American public, the Biden administration wants is a just and enduring peace where Israelis and Palestinians alike have freedom, security, and self-determination. And the president's success in bringing that about, it's a long road there, but his success in doing that will allow us to turn the page and move the spotlight in this election towards American issues like freedom, democracy, and the fate of the middle class. That's the way forward here.
Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler, if people want to get involved with the party, give a few shekels, if you will. How did they do so, Ben?
Go to wisdems.org. Great question. WISDEMS.org. Chip in, get involved, volunteer. Let's fight and win.
You guys sell any gold sneakers or NFTs?
You can buy your Bible from wherever you want. You're not going to buy it from the Democratic Party, but then you can read the Sermon on the Mount and get active in your local Democratic Party unit.
Really appreciate your time. Ben, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come on back. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday Eve to us all. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we appreciate Democratic Party Chair, great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, friend of ours. Love it when Ben comes around, gives us a little update. I am inspired by some of the down ballot races as well. And I know we're playing out across the state of Wisconsin. And in fact, right now at this moment, Dom, they can hear us on State Street, the Madison Night Market about to kick off here about 8 minutes.
Hey, what's up, Madison?
They're playing the Devil's Advocates down at the WMDX booth, and they got a crew out there. So if you're in the Madison area, like me, super coolest city ever, come on down, say hi to the people. They're out there on the streets playing the Devil's Advocates. That's how you'll know they're cool.
Yes. Well, yes. Said, Michael.
Also, been checking the text line. Crudy is a little horned up after listening to Stormy. Look out, Rich. I'm not sure if that's true. We are going to do some dramatic readings of Stormy here in just a minute, Dom. I'm looking forward to a happy hour, if you know what I'm saying. Dana from La Crosse, God's country, says, I'm betting that Barron doesn't even want him there, talking about Trump at his graduation party. Trump apparently got permission to go to the graduation party and promptly scheduled a fundraiser in Minnesota.
Doesn't mean he can't do both. He's got an airplane, Mike.
Well, it doesn't mean he can't do both, but let me see what I've got here. I've Majority Whip Tom Emmer, Minnesota Trump campaign chair, Republican Party of Minnesota Chairman David Han, and Minnesota's Lincoln Reagan. They misspelled Reagan here, Dom. Oh, no. Maybe it's just... No, but they do have three N's in dinner. They spelled Reagan properly, although it does look like an A, but they've literally... And I'm looking at the official...
It's not the invite to Minnesota's fundraiser.
You know it's going to be a great dinner because it's got three N's in it.
Dinner.
And the guests, they claim, and this is scheduled for Friday, May 17th, so put it on your calendars, folks. Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States. Come for the dinner. Now, Don, it's going to take a little bit of money to get in there. I'm taking this off my screen because I...
Well, he did offer to sell the White House to the petrochemical industry for $1 billion. So probably cost a little bit to get to Minnesota.
Presidential table cost $100,000 for the fundraiser, Dom.
Ooh,
come on down.
Is Mike Lindell going to be there? I mean, he's been a Minnesota guy, right?
I'm less convinced that Mike Lindell would have the freight.
Hey, he's got checks. post-dated, out-of-state, third-party checks. Don't worry about it. It's good. Just hold on to it for a couple of weeks.
Dom, here's an interesting point I wanted to make before we close this hour. Your buddy, Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, character is too important, says Paul Ryan, says he'll write in a candidate and won't vote for Trump.
Great.
Now, you talked about the character of Speaker Paul Ryan, right? This was a guy that made up a tremendous fiction about a hungry kid not wanting a sack lunch. And Paul Ryan's opinion, he'd rather go hungry because he wanted the lunchbox lunches, Dom.
As soon as I heard Speaker Ryan talking about character, this one came to mind. So I pulled it up. This is from the Washington Post, their excerpt of March 6, 2014. Here's the quote from Speaker Ryan at the time. I guess Rep. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin. The left is making a big mistake here. What they're offering people is a full stomach and an empty soul. The American people want more than that. This reminds me of a story I heard from Eloise Anderson. She serves in the cabinet of my buddy, Governor Scott Walker. She once met a young boy from a very poor family, and every day at school, he would get a free lunch from a government program. He told Eloise he didn't want a free lunch. He wanted his own lunch in a brown paper bag, just like the other kids. He wanted one, he said, because he knew a kid with a brown paper bag had somebody who cared for him. This is what the left does not understand. Again, Paul Ryan in a speech to the Conservative Political Action Committee on March 6 of 2014.
Didn't Scott Walker tool around in his Saturn with a ham and cheese sandwich in his brown paper bag?
He always took pictures of his brown paper bag sandwich, yes.
But the truth of this story told by former Speaker Paul Ryan, Dom, it's coming to question, has it not?
The Pinocchio test at the Washington Post. Anderson, this is again the Eloise Anderson, the one who was apparently told the story, in congressional testimony represented that she spoke to this child, then ripped the tale out of the original context, is worthy of four Pinocchios. Here's what Paul Ryan said. Should he get a pass because he heard this from a witness before Congress? It really depends on the circumstances. In this case, he referenced the story in a major speech. The burden always falls on the speaker, and we believe politicians need to check the facts in any prepared remarks. In this case, apparently, the story was too good to check. We appreciate that Speaker Ryan or Paul Ryan is regretful now, but a simple inquiry would have determined that the person telling the story actually is an advocate for federal programs that Ryan now claims leave people with a, quote, full stomach and empty soul, unquote. Paul Ryan earns four Pinocchios. You know, the guy talking about character and Donald Trump.
Well, here's what he said. Paul Ryan claims he will not vote for Donald Trump this November. Not for me, he told Yahoo Finance. Character is too important to me, and it's a job that requires the kind of character he just doesn't have. Well, he never did, but you merged your agenda. And is it real character to throw away your vote on a write-in Republican? What point are you making?
Has no character. Let's just come up, say it. I'm voting for Joe Biden.
You better do it, Paul Ryan. A dramatic reading of the stormy testimony of the day. You've been waiting all day for this. More Devil's Advocacy. Happier, happy hour indeed.